AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Hey, Davis, you know, it's never too late to do just a little bit more looking back. If we can learn something from what we are looking back at about how the markets and the industry might perform in the future. So I think we can do that. I think we can do that.
We ought to at least try. We're here.
let's give it a shot. Dr. James Mintert is a Purdue University ag economist. He is the director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, who, along with Dr. Langemeyer, over there at Purdue and the CME Group, puts out the monthly Ag Economy Barometer. And the details of the barometer were released this morning, but that is for December. And to talk about it now is Dr. Jim Mintert. Jim, welcome back.
Happy New Year, Chip.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Kind of a uneventful update to the report this time, isn't it?
Well, farmer sentiment was pretty stable when you compare it to November. I think maybe the better comparison, though, is to think about what took place during the fall.
Good.
And that was kind of what you were kind of referencing, I guess, there at the start, looking backwards a little bit. Farmer sentiment bottomed out in September and then actually recovered, a significant recovery as we moved through the fall quarter. So closing out the year at 114. No change from November, but certainly better than we were back in September. I think if you look at the current condition index from September to December, it was up 14%. And I think that reflects something we've been talking about for some time. Farm income in 2023 at the end of the year turned out probably better than people thought it was going to be in late summer, both from a yield perspective and at least for some of the crop that got sold at some of the stronger prices, notwithstanding what took place this morning, obviously.
Right. But it was mostly more bushels than what they anticipated, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And I think the other thing you and I've talked about in the past is the fact that you had a stronger yield, a better experience driving the combine, for example, than you expected, that does kind of boost sentiment, right? You and I know that from our own experience farming. And I think when I talk to farmers, that's one of the things that comes out. The fact that yields were better just makes people feel a little bit better about what took place in 2023. And I think our sentiment index picked that up.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, one of the unique things that we can do at the end of the year is compare year to year on how the index and farmer attitudes might have changed. Take us back to December of 22. How do things line up?
So the overall sentiment index is lower. It was down, I think, about a dozen points compared to December of 22. And if you think about it, farm income in 2023, although better than we thought it was going to be in late August, for example, when USDA issued one of their farm income forecast, still lower than what it was in 2022. And 2022 was record high. So the fact that the sentiment index is down compared to a year earlier makes a lot of sense. That showed up as well with respect to lower values for both the current condition index and the sentiment for future expectations as well. Farm financial performance is kind of interesting. If you go back to 2022, again, we're down about, I think, roughly a dozen points. Last year, it was 109. This year, 97. But again, as we talked earlier, that sentiment index with respect to farm financial performance actually bottomed out back in May at a reading of 76. So it's actually substantially stronger than what people thought earlier in the year. You compare it to September, it was 86. So we're up about 11 points compared to September. So that's really the shift that we're seeing. I think people expected to see a worse year than what they thought than what actually happened here in 2023. 2023 is not as good as 2022, but if you look at it from a historical perspective, it's still a good farm income year. And I think our survey is kind of picking that up a little bit.
Yeah. For the row crop producers out there, 23 was a bit of a transition year, but those bushels coming in or the yields coming in better than what they feared they might be, it added a little cushion to the transition year. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, we're walking into 2024 with expectations for reduced farm income relative to 2023. But we're walking into it with a strong balance sheet, coming off a pretty good income year. People are still in a pretty positive position. And I think, you know, when we start thinking about major assets, for example, farmland, and thinking about people's longer term farmland outlook, you know, one of the things that probably is coming into play is what in the stock market is sometimes referred to as the wealth effect. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got a pretty positive wealth effect in agriculture right now with respect to how strong people's balance sheets are, and that translating into not only sentiment, but also maybe economic activity going forward.
Yeah. I hope that wealth effect continues for consumers through 2024, because when we look at the consumer resiliency and what they've been able to do for beef demand in particular, I think that can really help out that beef market. But the livestock guys in general, they got to be a little wild-eyed going into 2024, don't they, Jim? Because of the pressure on dairy, the pressure on hogs, and the uncertainty in cattle.
Yeah, I think especially the hog sector. I mean, you know, 2023, probably the worst year on record for hog producers. The losses have been horrific. On the cattle side, you know, the interesting thing there is the weakness we saw late in the year, but I still look at what's taking place going forward these next 2 years. I still think the highest prices for fed cattle are still ahead of us. Wow. We haven't turned the corner in terms of rebuilding the herd, and that's typically when we see the biggest rebound or biggest bounce in cattle prices. So I think from a longer-term perspective, there's still some good reasons to be optimistic about cattle, even though things were kind of tough here in the fourth quarter of 2023.
Okay. What do farmers think about spending some money on the operation?
So, you know, if you think about our Farm Capital Investment Index, not a lot of movement there. I think that index closed the year out at 43. Last year at this time, it was at 40. 2 years ago at this time, it was 49. You go back to 2020, and that index was all the way up at 93. So, people are not feeling as positive as they were in late 2020, early 2021 with respect to farm capital investments. But again, it's been an improvement. You know, if you go back to the low point of that index here, just a little over a year ago, that index was down all the way to a reading of 30. So we're up 13 points compared to that. It's also climbed a little bit here during the fall. So people are feeling a little bit better about that. And as you look at it, you know, one of the shifts that's taken place when we talk to the people who say it's a good time to make farm investments, and that's a minority of the people in the survey. I think this month it was right around 30% of the people in the survey. They're starting to point to some differences there. They're starting to say it's a good time because they're seeing an increase in the inventories on dealer lots, which suggests that maybe there's some better deals out there, some better opportunities to negotiate some prices. So people are starting to focus on that a little bit. The other thing that's interesting, you know, interest rates, about a third of the people in our survey say they think interest rates are going to decline during 2024. And of course, that'd be positive for investments as well.
Yeah. It might make some of that spending in the first part of the year a little lower as they wait for those interest rate cuts later in the year, right?
Well, that could happen, but I think probably the bigger factor is, do I need it? Do I want to use it in 2024?
Yep.
And if I do, it's available, which is something that wasn't true the last couple of years, right? The last couple
Great
of years,
point.
It was kind of like, put your name on the dotted line and we'll call you when it's ready.
That's right. That is exactly right, man. So that is very true. The interest rates are working with some of the intentions that are out there. That's a good way of looking at it. You mentioned farmland values very briefly earlier. Any changes in the long or short-term outlook?
So if you look at the short-term index, that index really hasn't changed much for about the last roughly 6 months. It's been bouncing around about 125, 126. That's down a little bit compared to last year. I think the reading last year was 129. 2 years ago, it was at 157. If you look at the responses to the question, not just the index itself, you can start to see a little bit of what's going on there. And there has been a little bit of a change over time with respect to what that index is doing on its own. More people, not a large percentage, but more people are telling us that they think farmland values could actually go down in the upcoming year. And if you look at it, especially over these last couple of years, we've clearly lost confidence in the idea that short-term increases in farmland value are going to take place, because the percentage of people saying they expect to see values go up in the next 12 months has been drifting lower for these last couple of years, and that's really continuing unabated. Longer term, people remain relatively optimistic. If you think about it from a five-year perspective, that makes a lot of sense. That's essentially the pattern that's been in place for most of the time since the end of World War II.
Yeah, the working capital that they've got in their pocket is going to have an influence on that. And obviously the emotion, it's so hard to quantify the emotion of the land market, because if it becomes available, the attitude is, well, this is going to be my last chance to buy that piece of ground.
Yeah, and we're walking in with a strong balance sheet. And I think those strong
Yeah.
balance sheets have a tremendous impact on what people are willing to do with respect to farmland values. So I think, if you're looking for something that would maybe cause a change in attitude, it would be to see some weakening in that farm balance sheet combined with softer income levels. And that would probably put some pressure on farmland values. Right now, it looks like maybe stagnant. And longer term, if we do see farm incomes tighten, I
Yeah.
still think we could be looking at a top in farmland values, but it doesn't seem to be showing up anytime real soon.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Jim, we sure appreciate these monthly conversations with you, and we look forward to them through all of 24.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate the opportunity, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. That is Dr. James Minter, Purdue University ag economist.